Lent is getting ever closer. I think we finally, the area pastors, we're going to do again a kind of a swap. So if you want to come to one of our midweek services in a little bit, you don't need to worry about hearing me every week. Maybe some other pastors. We'll get to rotate around a little bit. I'll start us off on Ash Wednesday, but I don't think I end up back here until like April. So, but I mean, obviously I'll be here on Sundays, you know, probably, you know. But in any case, for now, we have a usual group of announcements before we begin. As we've been doing this year, we've started these fun sort of little mini centennial fundraisers for our centennial year. So please keep that in mind, some of the hearts you see hanging around. I believe next week we will be drawing the raffle winner. So if you want to get a heart and be entered into that raffle, please see the gals out in the fellowship hall after worship. Of course, we're also continuing to, you'll see in your bulletin about Operation Christmas Child and that shoebox ministry. So there's some hygiene items that I think are on the docket for this month. Of course, our ladies will be hosting a number of different churches here in April, sort of our little clump of the synod for the ladies' spring gathering. So please keep that on your calendars. Also, next Sunday, we will be doing, after worship, our first ever pizza in a movie fun family event. So we'll probably have at least a couple screens going and have some good food as well. Yeah, keep that in mind. And two, also come with any ideas that you maybe want to do this again, because as we were talking about, once we officially buy this movie showing license, because we're going to do it all legal, we're going to all do it above board, we definitely want to get our use out of it. So we'll have it for about a year. Yeah, if you have any other movie ideas, we'd be happy to do that. I mean, even if we just on Sunday, if, you know, don't want the pastor to preach, we'll just put on, you know, Avengers or something, you know, and I'll just take a nap and we'll be good. Yeah, just, you know, think outside the box, right? And then also, since we've been blessed to have some families join us recently, we've decided to get our act together and start putting on a regular Sunday school. So on Sunday, March 3rd, there's at 10:15, we'll be starting some Sunday school classes. So if you have any questions, you can either talk to myself or Darlene Christensen, who I know is out sick today, but also Lori Nyberg, too, will be helping. And Sue, I believe, will also be helping out with that. So it'll be fun. We can start getting a little more active and providing some good activities for our younger folks here at Bethesda. Is there anything else I need to announce at this time? I guess maybe another reminder. I think I announced this a couple weeks ago about the Bishop's event. He's doing a Bishop and Brew at Camp Onomia on March 8th. So I think there's a poster still out in the entryway there if anyone's interested in that. But anything else we need to lift up at this time? All right. Well, let's just enjoy our lovely winter weather today and be glad the sun is shining and it's not 40 below, right? So in any case. Well, our opening hymn then is hymn 631, hymn 631.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us.
Amen.
Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love.
Amen.
Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever.
Amen.
Lord of stories, Jesus taught us through stories and the wisdom of the shared word. Teach us through your stories that we may learn, grow, and love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our main and gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now let us please read our psalm responsively. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts!
My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valleys of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Living as we do in a place surrounded by lakes big and small, we are also surrounded by fish stories, right? Stories of successes, perhaps questionable successes, and stories of dramatic failures, which often seem much more easy to believe. Debates, of course, as well over equipment and lures and boats and docks and lifts and so on and so on and so on. It's hard to avoid it here, but it's just part of life around the lakes. Of course, Jesus and several of his disciples were fishermen, so no doubt they heard their share of fish stories. We have a few fishing parables, or at least moments from Jesus' life, where they are out fishing or out on the water. But Jesus also seems to have a special love for agricultural parables, right? Stories about seeds and fig trees and plants and weeds and all kinds of things like that. And a lot of times they are a little bit disturbing, right? You know, the mustard seed, that one's a pretty nice one, but this one where weeds are getting thrown into the furnace, man, you really kind of hope you're a wheat and not a weed. But I think it makes a certain amount of sense because as much as fishing can be a time of both success and failure, gardening is definitely experienced in both success and failure, especially in the failure part, right? You can lavish time and energy on plants that you want to grow, and yet they struggle at every single step. And yet the plants that you don't want to grow, even when you're working against them, they still grow better than the stuff you're trying to grow. It's frustrating. And that's not to mention all the other things that go against you when you're trying to grow plants and especially fruits and vegetables, right? There's not just the weeds, but there's bugs and there's fungus and there's just problems with enough getting enough light or getting enough water or getting too much of one or the other. It's enough to drive you insane. There is a book on my shelf by William Alexander titled The $64 Tomato. It details his fortunes and misfortunes in gardening, his efforts to grow the perfect tomato, with his challenges of worms and weeds and deer and a very persistent, very large groundhog that he names Super Chuck. At the end of the summer, he makes the obvious mistake that every gardener usually learns in. He actually does the math, right? He calculates how much he spent on gardening and how many tomatoes he got out of it, and hence the title, The $64 Tomato. I think most of us hopefully do a little better, and I suppose some of that does carry over to the next year, but I think anyone who's ever tried to garden kind of knows what that's like. And of course, reading books like that, we do it as much for sort of a strange sense of enjoyment. I'm not sure if I picked up any great surefire tips or tricks that will help me avoid a similar outcome this next year. Maybe I do need to read it again. It's been a while. But, of course, that really isn't the power or, as I said, the fun of stories like that. You know, these stories help us reflect on our own life a little better, help us deal with our own lives a little better, maybe laugh at ourselves a little bit. Even if it doesn't always exactly give us a clear opinion of where to go next or how we should live our lives instead. And of course, we live in an age with big opinions, don't we? We live in an age of lots and lots of opinions. We're inundated with opinions on all the various television channels, on radio, and on the internet especially. You know, we've seen how communication science has almost become weaponized against us in the telling of opinions and how it should impact our brains and what we should be moved to do or to think. And it's not all bad, right? We have a lot of fun with social media. We enjoy the chance not just to have scratchy telephone conversations, but have full-color video conversations with our family and friends around the country or even around the world. It's an amazing thing. You know, all these voices that in times past would have been lost, we get to hear, right? All the folks that normally wouldn't get put in front of a microphone, wouldn't get to share their perspective on the world. Now we get to hear this. But we do feel a little overwhelmed at times, maybe a little bit confused. When we're so completely surrounded and inundated with opinions, it's hard to know what exactly to think or how to process it all. And it's interesting, you know, Jesus living 2,000 years ago, you'd think it'd be better on people. They'd be able to hear his parables and instantly understand what's going on in them. And yet they don't, right? Maybe this is a little comforting. Maybe we can kind of sympathize with them. You know, and maybe it could just be the case where the complainers, you know, are just louder than those who are happy and under, you know, and they get what Jesus is saying. But sometimes it does seem like Jesus is purposefully being a little cryptic. You know, he doesn't take a lot of time, at least not all the time, to explain everything that's going on. And of course, there are moments when Jesus is obvious, right? Where Jesus does make a very strict, stark point, right? We might remember that scene in the temple where there's, I thought there was a mouse behind me for all of us. I was like, anyway. Jesus is in the temple and he's turning over tables and he's cracking the whip and everything like that. But more often than not, Jesus tells parables. He tells stories. This is one of his chief ways that he shares what the kingdom of God will be like, even though he knows it might be a little confusing. And so maybe he does that on purpose. Maybe it's okay for us to hear and not instantly understand what's going on, for us to hear and not just be bombarded with one clear opinion, that we gain something when we actually let ideas kind of bounce around our heads a little bit, to take a moment to breathe and just reflect on things. I mean, it's one of my cheap and easy tools as a pastor, that I like to plant seeds myself of ideas. You know, if there's some new program or some new thought that I have for our council, you know, I might plant a seed, if not in the council meeting, maybe in a newsletter article, and then wait a couple months before I really kind of come out with a more concrete plan based on that. You know, that we do this. I think it's a great way to kind of work in our lives, because as I said, you know, we're bombarded with opinions, and I think we start to develop walls and kind of immune systems around all the opinions of others. And so we kind of get nestled in our own opinions, and we just let everything else just sort of bounce off of us, and we don't really take it in. We don't really prepare the soil, right, to continue the metaphor, so that good crops grow amongst us. And maybe it is a bit, too, like this parable that Jesus tells of the weeds and the wheat, right? That we are so, that we don't have the fortune in life always to be able to look on one field of weeds and one field of good crop. That we are in the midst of the field and we are scattered by all kinds of good and bad mixed together. We can't always tell the difference. You know, life is confusing like this at times. We aren't always sure what the right course of action is. And Jesus definitely counsels wisdom, and he definitely counsels patience, that we take time, that we don't uproot the good with the bad. And that can be hard, to live in those uncomfortable places where we know there's not always a lot of good options, where we know that things aren't always perfect, but we just have to kind of be there in the midst of that imperfection. Because sometimes in efforts to get rid of the things that bother us, we do throw the good out with the bad. Sometimes we you know, we try to, well, oh, man, I'm blanking that expression, right? We, you know, when we get so focused on something that you know that we want that perfect ending, and we forget the costs that go along with it as we pursue it, and that we oftentimes make things worse for ourselves in the long run, even if we obtain that short term goal. And sometimes we just have to tolerate the mysteries of life, right? That we aren't always blessed with the ability to rid ourselves of every struggle that happens in our lives. But sometimes we do need to give ourselves the benefit of time, to make that commitment to just letting things sit, letting things grow a little bit, you know, and to be honest as well, to be honest about the things that we struggle with and the ways that we ourselves struggle as well. Because that's also part of the story of plants, right? It's not even just about all the little elements. It's also the element of time, right? That plants need time to grow. That in that other parable, we had a whole grab bag of parables today, right? There's also the parable of the yeast, right? Bread doesn't just need flour and water and yeast, maybe a little salt, right? It also needs time. It needs time for things to grow, things to bubble, and time for the bread to sit and to form it and then put it in the oven. You know, there's a value to let things just work their way out in our lives and not always just instantly respond to everything. That's the power of stories versus the power of opinions, right? When we get things all on the surface, it's just there. It's just right there. But stories, we get the benefit of time as well. We let things grow and germinate in our minds a little bit. And we don't always have happy stories to tell or to hear. Sometimes it's not happy because of others. Sometimes it's because of ourselves. That's often the case. Sometimes it's just the randomness of life. You know, sometimes there will be weeds in our lives and worms. And sometimes there will even be giant woodchucks chewing away at all the good things that we try to build up in our lives. But what we do have is a promise from God that God will also be there. God will be our gardener, seeing us through all the challenges, not getting too frustrated with us, right? God will get a little frustrated with us, as any gardener will, but God will not be so frustrated that he just goes and buys his vegetables at the store. I'm not sure if this metaphor is still working, but in any case, right, God doesn't get so frustrated with us that he just mows the whole thing under, right? God is a smart gardener. God will wait till the harvest. God will wait until things are clearer. God will give us the light and the water and the good soil that we need. And God will be patient with us as well to bring us that life and that life abundant. Amen. Please rise as you are able. And now let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Raise up faithful leaders to proclaim the gospel. Guide us in the ways of love. Empower us in ministry and service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth. Bless deserts and canyons, farmlands and vineyards. Bring sufficient rainfall to lands parched by drought, and restore places scorched by wildfire. Protect fragile environments from harm. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations. Grant wisdom to our elected leaders for the sake of the common good. Give courage to those who suffer persecution. Give patience and perseverance to those who work to bring an end to injustice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who do not have enough food, for those who lack money, for those who are estranged from families, for those who worry about many things, comfort those who mourn. Heal and strengthen those who are sick. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly, for newcomers, visitors, longtime members, and those who are absent from us today. Root us deeply in your word and increase our faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we lift up prayers for our community, for those that we keep in our minds and our hearts. We remember George as he awaits news about having gallbladder surgery. We pray for George and Patty. We pray for Ron and Carol. We pray for all those in our congregation and in our community that are suffering in one way or another. And now we lift up our prayers either out loud or in silence, and we offer them to you, O God. With thanksgiving, O God, we remember those who have died. Encourage us by their example, and lead us in faith until we are united at your unending feast. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that, refreshed with this heavenly food, we might be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's abundant life for you. All are welcome. Please come. rise as you are able. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free. Use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect your glory, revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly. Name you, beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. And our closing song is in your bulletins, and should be fun.
Justice.